We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Wow, 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 wow.
Gilgeous Alexander. McCollum staying with him. Spins, gets inside. Left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot. Back door. What a pass. What a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This isn't Dart. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Uncontested Weekly Show. Part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and sponsored by Dave's Hot Chicken and Spark OKC. I'm your host for the night, JD Silva. I'm laughing because of my co-host, Jacob Niffen.
Singing along to the intro music, baby.
Acapella.
You're just off mute there for a second. Joined by Jacob Niffen, also joined by Taylor Peterson.
The best part of that was Jacob had no idea, and I just looked at Silva in at the bottom corner. Yeah. We're both just cracking up.
You're welcome.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I was hoping you'd say something else, but
yeah. Before we get started, be sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating. If you are watching us on YouTube, give us a like. Give us a subscription. And yeah, leave us some comments.
Why am I getting bullied in the chat right now?
Well, that's an evergreen statement.
Yes, it is.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram.
This Gatorade is from Micah, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out Micah.
Every podcast, Micah texts me and laughs about me chugging a Gatorade. Gotta stay hydrated, man.
Gotta stay hydrated. Well, we're gonna have to wait a while before we watch the Thunder play basketball again, huh?
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
6 days from today. Spells?
Yeah.
Hey, also, before we dive any deeper into the podcast, we are doing a mailbag show tonight. So we've got some questions from social media, but we also wanted some questions from the chat. So if you guys want your question read and discussed on the pod tonight, in the chat, type question, then like a dash or a colon, and then type your question so we can easily identify them and star them. And then we can get back to them later on in the show. So,
yeah, give us a good, solid question. Don't just say like, "Do you have Ligma?" All right, you could ask that actually. We'd probably one of us would answer. But give us a sentence. some good quality.
Stricken with a horrible case of Ligma.
Yeah,
yeah. Heard that's what Joel Embiid had.
He's becoming a real villain. I feel bad for him because his body is like broken in multiple ways, physically and mentally. But I think he's an asshole.
That too.
Yeah.
Those Knicks fans are not fans of Joel Embiid, who apparently loves the city of New York's favorite place in the world, he says.
Interesting. All right. Well, let's talk some basketball. We're doing a segment we all know and love. Let's take it or leave it. All right, I'm going to read these, and I'm just going to ping them around. Am I going to answer any of these, or is it just you two guys going to answer these?
Yeah, you can.
You're going to answer.
You're going to answer as well. We've got six of them. So if you're new to the podcast, we do have a lot of new listeners who have joined in like the past month or so. Take it or leave it is a very simple game where JD is going to make a statement. He's going to direct it at somebody, himself or one of us two. And we either have to take it, meaning we think it's true, or leave it, meaning we think that it is false. And then we can kind of discuss what is what our thoughts on that topic are, and kind of deep dive. We set these up as kind of a review of round one and a preview of round two. So that's kind of where we're at. And then we'll get to the fan questions later. So make sure you get your questions in the chat now.
Yes, well said, well said. All right, number one, we'll go to Taylor.
Get to start us off with a fun one.
Yes. Taylor, take it or leave it. SGA needs to be the best player in the series for the Thunder to win round two.
Shockingly, I am leaving it. And the reason why is because I think the Thunder by committee have played so well. And even then, during this last stretch, or during that those first four games of their first playoff experience, we saw so many guys step up. But even that, I don't think the bench necessarily was as great offensively as we saw throughout the regular season. I think Chet, as just fantastic as he was as a whole, still left a lot to be desired offensively. I think J-Dub still has another gear. We saw fourth quarter Dub so much in the regular season. Yes, we saw Dub hit some incredibly clutch shots, but we didn't necessarily just see him take over a game. I mean, you can just go down the list. The Thunder shot poorly overall from three this series, which is something, you know, as the leading three-point percentage team in the league, or leading the league in three-point percentage during the regular season. It's a better way to phrase that. I don't see them having another poor series from three. And so all those factors combined, I think the Thunder have the depth, and I think that style of play, it sounds very cliche. We keep talking about it over and over, but I think they can beat another team, whether it's the Mavs or the Clippers in the second round, even if Shea is not the second best, the first or second best player on the floor. That being said, I'd be shocked if he wasn't, especially going head to head with either Luka and Kyrie or PG and maybe Kawhi. We'll see.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there. It is more of a Thunder just don't play that style. Like if you were to tell me that in a series with the Mavs, Luka was the best player, wouldn't be surprised, but the way they play, he is kind of set up to dominate the ball, to take all the shots, to have the ball 80% of the time, basically. And the other, just 15% of the time, Kyrie gets a dribble, and the rest is just stand in the corner and shoot. So their style of play is like, Luka, you're the best player, go out there and figure it out. Whereas the Thunder, like, last series, SGA wasn't his usual, it was not peak SGA last series. It didn't matter because he's willing to do all the dirty work just to help the team win. So I'm right there with you, Taylor. I think he can be the second best player and they could still win.
Hey, I finally got stats to pull up. 27.3 points per game still for Shea. Like even then, just good. Absolutely absurd. I'm 47.6% from the floor and we're calling it not his most effective series. Like that's pretty absurd to think and talk about. So again, I'd be pretty surprised if Shea doesn't have another monster or a pretty monster series in the second round. But even then, I think it's a Thunder team, like you mentioned, Silva, not just the offensive side of the ball, the defensive brand that they play. If they can push the ball out in transition and create shots for teammates, I don't think Shea has to be the best player for them to win another series.
I think I'm with you guys. Like, for what it's worth, it's kind of bold. I think Shea is the best player against either of those two teams in the second round. So I think the Thunder will have the best player in the series. Will he perform like the best player is a different question. There's just a ton of factors that go into that. I tend to think yes, because they've already passed like the best Shea defending team, I think, in the West, maybe minus Minnesota. So I feel okay about that. But if Shea, he doesn't have to be the best player all series, but he's got to be the best player in a few games. All right. There can be a game where that. It's like the J-Dub game where Dub goes for 30, and is awesome, or the Chet game where he has like 25, 10 and 5 blocks or whatever. But I don't think this would happen, but you can't get like a 15-point Shea game. Like, I think Shea constantly has to be like the best player on the floor in general, or like the top two player for the Thunder in the series each game for them to win a second round series.
Yeah, I think, and if you kind of look beyond just the exercise, that like what is the reality right now is that Kawhi, who in a perfect world, Kawhi could be that guy, like if he was actually healthy, but he's not. Luka also not healthy. Like he has a knee sprain that is a pretty real issue. Like I think it was either Luka or Jason Kidd said that if it was the regular season, he probably wouldn't be playing. So like it's a real injury, and that just playing the odds like that does help for the purpose of this discussion at least. But we can move on to this second one. Jacob, I'll go to you.
I'm ready.
Chet will have a more difficult time at center in the next series. So the Chet conversation coming back around. This time, not about Jonas, but about either, I don't know, Gafford and Lively or Zubats.
Zubats. So take it or leave it, Chet will have a more difficult time playing center in the second round than he did in the first round. I think I'm leaving it. I think both teams, being the Mavericks and the Clippers, have centers who are more versatile than Jonas Valanciunas, but are closer in stature to Chet. The Pelicans had a clear plan in some of these games that was get the ball to Chet and let him just back, or not, sorry, get the ball to Jonas on Chet, let him back down and just try to turn around and lay the ball in the rim. I don't see the Mavs or the Clippers doing that to Chet, right? So in that sense, I don't think it is a tougher matchup or a tougher responsibility. I think Chet will get to play rim protector. He'll play out on the perimeter a little bit more. It's the other end of the court where I think things get interesting, because I think both of those teams that they might face in the second round will be more willing and have a quicker trigger to either put their center on Josh Giddey and guard Chet with a wing, which takes away the pick and pop that the Thunder really used a lot against the Pelicans, or they will go small and have a wing on Giddey and a wing on Chet defensively. I think that helps out the Thunder on the other end of the court, where I think Chet can survive in space and then is just an elite rim protector. And so I think that would help their defense. And the Thunder could also match and go small. But I wonder if it's a five versus a five on the floor and it's Chet versus, let's say, Gafford. I would not be surprised at all for them to put like PJ Washington on Chet, Gafford on Giddey, and try to take away that Chet pick and pop, and put somebody quicker that Chet can't just like catch and drive around. So I think that side of the floor gets interesting. But as far as the take it or leave it, I am leaving it. I don't think it is a more difficult matchup for him.
To use a Jacobism, I think you hit the nail on the head.
On the dadgum head, baby.
Because when I was going through these and was trying to come up with an answer in case I got one of them, the first thing that came to my mind as well with this Chet question, or take it or leave it, was that I think the Mavericks, especially, I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of predicting that the Mavericks are going to win this upcoming, or this series. We'll see what happens tonight. Even if it's the Clippers, I do think both of those teams are going to guard Josh Giddey with a center. I think Josh Giddey can make them pay for that. That's one side of the coin. But the other side of the coin is Chet's going to be able to make them pay for that as well on both sides of the ball, especially offensively. He's got to be better from three. He shot only 30% from three on the series, although he was the first round series, although he was fantastic as a whole shooting down low. He's got to be more effective and make the defense pay for putting smaller wings on him, which we've seen him struggle with all the way back to summer league. That was something we talked about when we were back in Vegas. So that's one aspect of it. The other is I think these teams are going to try and probably successfully will find ways to stretch Chet defensively out into the perimeter. So whether that be, like Jacob said, going small ball with wings, maybe even going five out, whatever the case may be, they're going to try and do whatever they can to get Chet away from the rim. That's going to be the biggest adjustment that they're going to make heading, or one of them, heading into the series after watching what the Thunder did against New Orleans. So there are two things I'm watching. I almost think I take this because I think it's going to be a tougher series for Chet, but that doesn't mean he doesn't step up to the challenge and is equally effective, if that's fair.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you there. I think I don't think I need to expand on it anymore. I think you guys both nailed it. You both hit the nail on the head, you could say.
Just beating the shit out of that nail, man.
Yeah.
That poor
I'm trying
nail.
To think of what my catchphrase is, and I don't know what it is.
That poor nail is like Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Lou Dort was just.
Okay. JD, it's your turn.
It's my turn. I'll ask myself.
No, any... I'll ask it, oh, you son of a gun. Okay. JD, take it or leave it. Any of the other seven Western Conference playoff teams, I guess it would be any of the other six Western Conference playoff teams, would have swept New Orleans as well. Now, this question comes from, I'm just going to be transparent, okay? Am I stoked that the Thunder swept? Hell yeah. It's incredible. Is winning any playoff series like awesome and worthy of celebration? Absolutely.
It's not easy either.
As somebody who generally is a pessimist, I've started to wonder, was this the Thunder being good, or do the Pelicans just suck without Zion? And I tried to look up some stats, like the Pelicans record like was like 7-5 without Zion this year. So kind of middle of the pack. I couldn't find specific stats on like how good their defense was and how good their offense was and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time like diving into that. But I've started to wonder, like, am I getting a false sense of security with this team? I shouldn't, because 82 games is a huge sample size. The whole season tells us who they are. I think the second round will tell me a lot about who they are. But I've just had these second guess thoughts on like, are we really that good? Or were the Pelicans just that bad? So that's where this question comes from, JD. That's a lot of context, so let me ask it one more time. Take it or leave it. Any of the other six Western playoff teams would have swept the New Orleans Pelicans as well.
So just to clarify, this is basically saying all of the other six teams would have also swept them, or just
Denver, okay. Minnesota, Mavs,
Clippers, Phoenix.
Phoenix, Lakers.
They also, so that it's saying
any of those teams would have swept this team in the playoffs.
I think I would leave it. I think so. I don't think I agree leaving it there. I just think a lot of those teams are deeply flawed. Like even if the Pelicans were without Zion, they were still a competitive team. Like two of those games were close for the most part. A lot of people were still picking the series to go seven, and the Thunder were the one seed in the West. And maybe that's just national media doubting OKC and like thinking too much of the center thing, but they were still a competitive, pretty versatile team defensively. And no, like I think there are some teams maybe that could have, you know, like your Denver.
So let's go down the list.
Mm-hmm.
Denver versus New Orleans. Sweep or no sweep?
Yeah.
Okay. Minnesota versus New Orleans.
Sweep.
Clippers versus New Orleans.
I think they take
sweep.
Silva, did you say sweep?
No.
Okay. I agree. Say, no sweep.
I think
that.
Say take one, and I agree. Maybe two.
Mavs versus Pelicans.
No.
I agree. I do not think it would be a sweep. Phoenix versus the Pelicans.
No, they might. I mean, they could lose that series for all we know.
That's what I was going to say. They might lose the series. I don't even know if I pick them to win the series.
Yeah.
Lakers versus Pelicans.
They wouldn't sweep.
They wouldn't sweep. It'd probably go five because they kind of owned them like throughout the whole season. But no, they take one. I also don't like the Lakers, so I'm more likely to say that they.
That was going to be my answer. So I think the teams that swept their opponents in the first round are the ones who would have swept the Pelicans. And that was three teams. It was us. It was the Timberwolves. And it was the, the Nuggets didn't sweep, but they almost did against a really solid Lakers team.
Yeah.
Those are going to be my three And after that exercise, I think we're at a consensus.
I think the Thunder are just really good. Like that, you didn't even get the best version of a lot of their players, and they still swept.
That was kind of my thought as well. I made a comment earlier that the Thunder, I didn't think, shot as well from three. I actually have the stats now. And it's kind of weird how it happened, because watching the series, you wouldn't think that they had a great series from three. But due to that absurd game two where they just shot the absolute lights out, it's regression to the mean. So for the playoffs, they shot 38.7% from three, and regular season, the 38.9% from three.
I think part of that too, Taylor, is the overall number sounds good, but where it came from wasn't what you expected. Lou Dort shot like 50% from three, and Isaiah Joe shot like 28 or something like that. You know, so it didn't come from the folks that you thought it was going to come from.
I think that's spot on. But you do look at like Shea, that's something you mentioned, Silva, is 27.3 points per game. It's first round for Shea in comparison to his 30.1. He shot 53.5% from the floor on those 30 points per game in the regular season, and only shot 47% from the floor this series. So, I mean, that's just one specific example. I still think the Thunder have better team basketball to play like we saw in the regular season. So, yeah, I'd leave it for that reason as well.
Yeah, that's good. Good stuff. All right, we have two left. Two left. Next one will go to Taylor. Regardless of OKC's round two opponent, the top eight Thunder players in minutes per game from round one will be the same in round two.
I got those minutes for you.
Oh, thank you.
And for the listeners. So the top eight, it's saying that not necessarily the same order, but the top eight will still be the top eight. Take it or leave it. Shea was number one with 38 minutes. J-Dub number two with 37. Lou number three with 35.5. Chet number four at 32, Josh number five at 26.5, Cason Wallace number six at 17.5, Aaron Wiggins at number seven, 15, Isaiah Joe number eight at almost 14. So it's the starting five, Queso, Wiggins, Joe.
I mean, that's exactly what I wanted to see heading into the series. I'm glad it played out that way. Even if we were frustrated with some tweaks, like some Gordon Hayward minutes here or there, whatever the case may be, Jalen Williams obviously played well, but still was outside that top eight. And I understand that maybe you could utilize him a little more in these future series. Even then, I'm taking this. I really don't see a way where Jay Will jumps up to like, well, 13 isn't much with Isaiah Joe, but I think Isaiah Joe is going to be much more effective. Maybe that's just me, you know, on that hopium. I think he's going to play better and can be utilized more in these upcoming matchups against either the Clippers or the Mavs. And then from there, I just love how those minutes distributions played out. I think we see something very similar. So I'm taking it.
Here's a follow-up for both of you. If I told you that I am from the future,
number holy one, that shit.
Can I get a sounder for that?
Yeah.
That's the exact sounder I was hoping for, too.
Me too.
If I told you I was from the future from 2 weeks from now, 2.5 weeks from now, and the Thunder have won round two and they're heading to the Western Conference Finals, but your answer to this was incorrect. The top eight in minutes in round one was not the top eight in round two. That there was one guy who broke into the top eight and one guy who fell out of the top eight. Who would be your guess that jumped and who would be your guess that fell?
This one's pretty easy for me.
All right, you got one?
Okay. Kendrick Williams. That's one that I kind of forgot about when I gave my original answer. So I'm glad you did that follow-up. Because see, Kenny jumping into that top eight potentially, it's more likely that he gets more of Jay Will's minutes, I think, those 11.1 minutes per game. But Jay Will would probably be my answer there. And if I had to pick one that jumped out, I hate to say it, but as much as I want Aaron Wiggins to maintain those minutes or even get more, it probably would be Wiggins, just given the similar roles. If Mark is going with Kenrich in the next round, that probably means a little less of Aaron Wiggins.
Yeah, Wiggins would have to be the guy that falls out for me. I just think Kaysen and Joe are too important. That like their skill sets can't be replicated at all by anyone else, I don't think. Like their specific, you know, dribble, pass, shoot, Isaiah Joe's shooting especially. But I think Jay Will was not in the top eight, correct?
Nope.
I almost think we could see Jay Will. I would like to see that. I think he can do. Kenrich just hasn't been the same player this year. I guess I have a little bit less faith or excitement around like Kenrich Williams minutes lately, in part because Kenrich hasn't been the same guy this year, but also because Jay Will has been so awesome. And I would like to see a lot more of the double big stuff, especially if against the Mavs, for example, they run double bigs. Yeah, Jay Will be my answer, I think.
Interesting. So you both are saying Wiggins would drop, but you have different people jumping, which is interesting.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, I think Kaysen stays at sixth. Because I think either matchup, he's got guys to guard.
There's a crazy world where he's the most effective defender on Kyrie Irving in this next round.
I don't think
Lu Dort has struggled with smaller, quicker.
See,
guards.
Nick disagreed with me. I think you put if it's that matchup, I think Dort gets the Luka assignment the entire time, and J Dub in the starting lineup gets the Kyrie assignment. You put the length on Kyrie, and you put the girth on Luka.
I agreed with you when I was listening back to it.
Lord have mercy, I'm about to bust.
I mean, this is like the hot take Homer in me, and maybe I should save it for a Mavs preview if that is indeed the case on Sunday when we're doing the podcast. But if that's how it plays out, I wouldn't be shocked if Kaysen closes a game or two in that series for that very reason.
We had a comment from old Chicken Wink. Queso is from Dallas. He would ascend.
That's a good point. That.
What would a bench lineup Kaysen versus Russell Westbrook look like?
You know, like Vegeta and Goku, like the gif of them just like, you know, yeah,
smashing into each other.
Yeah.
It'd be like a young Goku versus a Roshi situation. Russ is in his Roshi era at this point.
Master and apprentice.
Yeah. All right. Last one for Jacob.
Is it the last one or is it the second last one? Last one?
I think it's the last one.
Last one. Oh, I get to go last.
Yes. All right. Regardless of how the rest of the playoffs go, Josh Giddey has solidified his spot as a main guy in OKC.
You ready for a take?
Yep.
Because I'm taking it.
Ooh.
I think the beginning of the season was very rough. I was very vocal about how bad he was. The resiliency, the mental fortitude, and the mental toughness. And I can't get over, you've all seen the video. If you haven't seen the video, go to Twitter and watch the video of J-Dub setting up his phone in the locker room so they can all give Mark a water bottle bath. And Mark, I think it was unintended by J-Dub to pick this up. Mark walks in and points at Josh and says, "You're a bad mother effer."
And then he gets drenched. And then he gets everybody starts going, calls "You're a bad mother effer.
But Coach to walk in and point at Josh and say, "You're a bad mother effer," he was badass.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter of game four, that was, I don't think you can argue, that was the highest pressure situation on a basketball court a lot of those guys have ever been in. And for Josh to perform like that and have that level of confidence, he hit one three and turned and started talking shit to the Pelicans bench. Yeah. Like, and then to pull that three in the 2-on-1 break.
Ballsy.
I think he has busted through that wall. I don't think he's getting a max contract, but I think Josh is motivated to stay around. I think the team is motivated to keep him around. I am completely changing my tune from December and January. I think Josh gets a 4 or 5 year extension this summer and they rock with the core. I mean, I have some other takes we can talk about in a while. I think they rock with the core that they have and just keep trucking along. Why wouldn't you? Yeah. You had one guy over 25 score a bucket in the first round and you swept. Like, why wouldn't you just keep this together and just run it back?
Yeah, bring in another young guy in the draft and roll the ball out there. Hey, Josh Giddey has played bad enough to not get a max, so we don't have to worry about that discussion. Oh, we can't afford them all, but he's played good enough to where you do want to keep him now. So that's like a pretty ideal world there.
As Miley Cyrus once said, it's the best of both worlds.
Yes.
This is where our Australian listeners are going to continue to hate me. And I'm pretty sure I'm on like a no-fly list to Australia these days after this season. I agree. And I agree with Jacob's take. I also would take it. But signing him to that contract, even if the fit doesn't work out, as these players continue to come into their own and Josh continues to progress and develop and looks incredible, but maybe the fit's just not right. J-Dub and Shea are going to continue to grow. And obviously Chet, that's somebody we didn't talk a lot about. We got some comments after Monday night's podcast where we were talking so much about Dub and Shea being 1A, 1B. What about Chet? We didn't mean to disclude him and say he's automatically a number two. We just didn't really have the time to talk about that. You know, there's still so much for all these players to develop. So even if you sign him to that kind of contract, like you mentioned, Silva, it's not going to be a max, still a very healthy contract for him and the team. That is a tradable contract you can use down the road if there is a better fit. So if anything, I think the way that Josh has played just kicks the can down the road further to continue to evaluate as his team grows. And that's not a knock against Josh. I think it's, if anything, it's props to Josh, just like Jacob mentioned, how incredible he's been. And if they continue to progress to the playoffs, I mean, you don't give up Josh Giddey for much of anything.
I agree with you totally. And I think signing him to a contract just extends the life of that asset. Correct. Can keep playing Josh. He can be awesome. If there's a better fit available and it just doesn't mesh, you now have him on a long-term contract that's easier to trade. It's, again, Miley Cyrus had it right all along. It's the best of both worlds. There was something else I was going to say about that, and I'm totally forgetting what it was now. Oh, well.
Best of both worlds?
Oh, maybe it was another Miley Cyrus song.
Or contract terms. That's something we can probably get into in the offseason.
Oh, Chet. We were talking about Chet and then J-Dub, and I just wanted to say that the national media is now all over J-Dub, which is incredible. And we talked on this podcast 2 months ago that when we got to the playoffs, there would be people talking about how Team X and Team Y and Team Z need to go get Aaron Wiggins from Oklahoma City because he's really good in his limited role and he would round out another team. Here we are, baby. Here we are. It's like we know what we're talking about.
Yep. Special, special player. And it's not just Shea and Dub. Like I alluded to, there's so much room for upside with all these guys. It's really exciting.
JD, it's time for a break.
It is. And then we'll come in like a wrecking ball for our Spark of the Week segment.
I'm going to look up Miley Cyrus lyrics while we're on break so I can keep this trend going.
Be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app.
Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, we're back. It's time for our Spark of the Week. Jacob, tell them about Spark.
Spark joy at Scissortail Park's family-friendly joint, Spark. Dive into their menu of burgers, bites, and cold delights. Speaking of cold delights, I believe strawberry is the custard of the month now. And they have a strawberry cheesecake custard. Don't skip the must-try BLC burger, pink fries, frozen peach club special, and the rotating custard flavor of the month, like I just said, is strawberry. Located directly west of Paycom Center, Spark is the best spot to hit before or after a Thunder game, which is next Tuesday if you're going to game one, or just go out this weekend and enjoy some burgers at the park in some nice weather. We all know two scoops or even three scoops of custard is better than one, so be on the lookout for Spark 2 and 3 coming to Chisholm Creek and Nichols Hills later this spring and summer. I believe they are getting very close to opening in Chisholm Creek and Nichols Hills. Gentlemen, it is Spark of the Week time. What is your spark?
Holy hell, I just looked up their custard of the month. Oh, it looks
good. I'm still distracted. I'm like planning my lunch tomorrow and how I can bring that custard back to the office.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, my spark of the week. It's Kawhi Leonard's knee. Kawhi, let's spark up that knee. Propel this series to 7 games. Tire all these old bastards out. And that's my spark of the week. What do we think?
I like it.
Good.
I also don't think Kawhi's going to play again this season.
You're probably right. Is that third season in a row? He has not played in the postseason?
That was like the exited? 20th. That was like the 20th.
Yep.
I'm looking up these Miley Cyrus lyrics. I know zero of these songs. Literally zero of them.
You don't know
Party in the USA.
Well,
yeah.
So I looked up top Miley Cyrus lyrics.
Chat, drop your favorite Miley Cyrus song in the comments.
Please. I don't know any of these songs. It doesn't have Party in the USA on here. Violet Chemistry.
Yeah, this is like all her new stuff that I haven't listened
Wild
to.
Wild Card. I don't know any of these.
My wash with my J's on. Forgot that as a song.
Yes.
Oh man,
I might be washed, gentlemen. Who that's else might be washed? As
I think
the
that's
Clippers
okay.
Who are
I'd be more
right
concerned
now.
If you did know all those songs.
35-25. Jacob said, "I might be washed, gentlemen."
That is a good sounder.
It's a fantastic sounder.
My spark of the week is going to Josh Giddey.
Hello.
Got to give it to Josh, man. He had an awful game one. And then ever since then was just nails. Absolute nails in the postseason. 3 games. He was freaking awesome. Played his role. I thought defensively he was really good. Like, I was surprised. Guys, I didn't see it whenever we were at Playoff Patio. And it wasn't until after our podcast that I saw the play. The one where was it B.I. or was it Herb that they drove and he got his hands on the ball, stripped it, fell out of bounds, and did the Michael Jackson toe touch back in bounds to get the ball and pass?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Insane. He should have been credited with a steal. He got screwed.
Yes. Incredible by Josh. And I am convinced, I meant to say this earlier when we were talking about Josh. A lot of people want Josh like in the offseason to like work on his handles and get a tighter handle on the ball. I think that is applicable. Keep working on his shot, work on his lateral quickness. Let me tell you what Josh needs to do this summer. What is it called? Do they call it plyometrics? It's like those workouts where like they're like explosive style workouts where you don't use a lot of weights, but it's like you go from sitting to like jumping and stuff, and you work on like sitting on a bench to jumping off of one leg.
Yep.
He needs to do plyometrics like 12 hours a day and come back and just dunk the goddamn basketball.
Can you imagine if Josh Giddey was dunk? Oh my gosh.
If Josh Giddey could be the level of athlete where he could get his elbow to the rim, it's Jover. Put it away. I mean, he would be disgusting with his physicality at the basket. Get up and throw that thing down. It's exactly what I want from him. So that's my spark of the week is Joshua Giddey.
Love that. Mine is, I say less serious, but it's a very serious, a really celebrity. It's worthy of praise and to be celebrated. A big moment in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and his wife Haley's lives. My spark of the week is Aries Alexander, Shai's firstborn, who was born, I believe, April 25th, which
Thursday, some of the fans, right after game two.
Right after game two, and some of the fans did a little research there. That means that Shai actually got to be there right before leaving for New Orleans, which is so cool, assuming that was the case. Aries is obviously, it alludes to the Greek god of war and courage. I assume that's probably what they were focusing on there, but it sure is a pretty cool nod to the Thunder because Aries was the son of Zeus, the Greek god Zeus, the god of thunder. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, God of Thunder. Now we got.
I don't
Aries.
Think that was intentional, but if it is, that either. Is badass, and he is a Thunder lifer.
Thunder for life. Yeah,
and that is awesome. Also, Aries Alexander also sounds like it should be Aries Alexander, first of his name, king of the Andals and the first men, and heir to the Iron
Prince
Throne.
That was promised. Here we go,
Ahai, baby.
We're gonna use one of those draft picks on Aries someday. But really exciting stuff for Shai and Haley, first and foremost. Also. Could totally see where Shai was just so ready to get back home. And I think it's really cool. Just want to take a moment to shout out the Thunder for sweeping. Not only that, but like now Shai gets a full week at home with his newborn. Mm-hmm. And then plus, even when he's playing, those first two games are at home. It's like almost 2 weeks at home with his wife and newborn, which I'm sure they all really appreciate. And hopefully that gives us some Shai new dad powers in the second round. We see Shai just go supernova. So my spark of the week is Aries Alexander.
Two things. One, did you guys see Nane's drawing?
No,
Shai and Haley holding the baby, and it's got Sam Presti in the background running with a contract to sign Aries.
That's amazing. I have not
it's
seen
dope.
That.
JD, if you can pull that up on Nane's Twitter and put it on the stream. Mm-hmm. The other thing, it is a massive shout out to Shai and Haley, but 99.5% of the shout out goes to Haley. Shai did probably like 15 seconds worth of work.
Give my guy some more credit than that.
It was all Haley. So congrats, Haley, for going through 9 months of pregnancy.
That is very accurate.
I think JD is pulling up the
I can never get her at to pull up on Twitter when I search it. It's so annoying.
All right, here we go.
7A Mountain.
I know, and it doesn't pull up. It's I hate
this
new Twitter.
It's podcasting. Boom.
Oh, that's awesome.
Look at that.
Adorable.
That's amazing.
Nane is the GOAT.
She is.
I love
that. I saw someone in the chat earlier asked about the pictures behind me, which are also Nane drawings. And they said, how do you get those? You DM Nane and you ask her permission to print off some of her prints. And she is probably going to be sweet enough to say yes. And then also send you the original files so you can print them off. That's what she did for me.
That's awesome.
Because she rules. So
she does. So happy she was here for the first two games of the playoffs.
Smoot says you guys got to meet Nane. Yes, we interviewed her on the pod a couple of years ago. We collabed with her on a shirt and then got to meet her for the first time whenever she was here at game one and two. So very, very cool.
Awesome. She's awesome.
JD, I believe it is time for some questions from the fans.
It is.
We got a lot of Twitter questions. We also have a lot of chat questions. Chat, if you want to get any more questions in, just tag it question and then type whatever your question is. We're going to pick some of our favorites.
Yes, we have a lot. So we should probably limit ourselves in some way as far as spending a ton of time on each question. I don't know what that should
be.
We
have a lot. Wow.
We have a lot. yeah. All right. We're just gonna ping pong around here.
Bing bong.
Bing bong around. This will be for Jacob. This is from Smoot. Our friend Smoot, always hanging out with us. Which one of you degenerates tweeted this? And I will not be putting up the tweet, but let me just explain what it is. This happened last year. right at the draft, I believe, someone from the Uncontested podcast tweeted out a picture of it was Jalen Suggs, Anthony Black, and Grady Dick. Okay, I'll let you all put that together in your minds about what the tweet meant. Who did it?
I can tell you 100% who did this tweet.
Me too.
I know. I know you guys too well that anytime somebody tweets something, I know exactly who it is when the tweet is fired off.
Yeah, same.
It's too easy. This was 5,000% would bet my salary and my house and my wife. This was Nick Crane.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. The biggest giveaway is each time he denies it immediately, and all of us own up to our tweets. And also, we all have our own styles. It's so easy that, yeah.
We do.
It is
Nick,
very easy.
I told Nick I would have happily accepted that. That was genius. And he still tried.
Smoot says, can we get him to confirm? Absolutely not. He will never confirm it.
Never does.
It was Nick.
Nick is too much of a professional to ever admit to this. It's more. He's committed to the bit until the day he dies.
The Uncontested, this is burner.
Yes. All right, next one. Next one to Taylor from Donnie Hazelwood on Twitter. Is this too much rest? Seems like Chet will either be prime Wilt or the Thunder will shoot 17% from three. I'm assuming he's alluding to the Thunder, like, not coming out as hot out of the gate if they're out a bunch of rest. So is this too much rest?
I don't have stats for this one, and we don't need it. We're trying to go a little quicker here. I'm on the record. Or actually, I was talking with him about this. I feel that game one is going to be another grind coming out of that stretch because actually I think I have this from our own Nick Crane. Speaking of Nicholas, if I can find it. Yep. Okay.
While you're looking it up, Smoot says, how many trips to the Taco Bell cantina until Nick confesses?
Quite a few.
Enough Margs and he probably
get three Baja Blast slush tequilas in him. And maybe the man starts to slip up a little bit.
There we go. Not even Taco Bell cantina. It's the hole in the wall cantina across the street. That's
the hole in the wall cantina is maybe the best place in all of Las Vegas.
Agreed. Yep. So from our own,
shout out to Nick eating there at 4 a.m.
He drugged Derek Parker and I there at like 3 a.m. It was great though. Between April 15th, which is the day after the regular season, through May 6th, which would be the day before the second round starts for OKC. So next Monday. The Thunder will have played a total of four games in that span of 21 days.
That's awesome.
I also had the frustrations with John Hollinger saying his only weakness of this Thunder team is that they're going to have all this time off. But I think there is some credit.
Kind of sounded like Goofy from Disney right there.
Well, I think John Hollinger is pretty goofy. So I think it's accurate. Also, my son is in the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse right now. So I've been watching a lot of Goofy.
Taylor's just channeling Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. I love it. Taylor, for
Chet's
what it's worth,
be great. I think
I agree.
It could be another struggle for that reason.
I think some people say, oh, it's too much rest. These guys aren't sitting at home eating ding dongs and watching Jackass the movie.
That's like, what I do.
What? That's what you do. Yeah. No, you slam honey butter chicken biscuits at midnight on the drive home from
with
the
your water burger and then on.
Had another one the next morning and then. Yeah, another one.
You ate another one for breakfast this morning. It's amazing. Or yesterday.
No, girlfriend ate the other one.
Yeah. They're at practice. They're going hard. They're getting work in. Like the competitive juices are flowing. I'm not worried about it.
I there is a difference though between having that much time off and not playing in competitive basketball games. Doesn't mean they aren't going to. They're going to come out flat. It's just there is a difference, and you want to be in the
group. Sure. But they're getting up and down, playing fives.
Right, they're going to be in shape.
Way too long on this question, JD. What's the next one? The next one's yours.
Yes. Do you want to read it?
I don't even know where we're at, bro.
This is the third.
I got you. I got you.
Leading them as we go, so just go to the top.
Garrett Jones.
Yes.
Am I crazy for saying the Thunder advance in six, no matter which team we get in round one, Silva?
Garrett. No, I don't think you're crazy yet. I don't think you're crazy because I think I haven't thought about this that much, but that's not an insane prediction. You know, both these teams are dealing with injuries in some form. Thunder were the one seed in the West for a reason. No, I don't think that's crazy.
I want to give Garrett a shout out real quick, but I got to find it real quick. So Silva, keep talking.
Hello. Still talking about this?
Fellas.
Didn't have a ton else to say about this one.
No, I don't think that's crazy either, regardless if it's the Clippers or the Mavericks. That even if it's a shorthanded Clippers team, they're still solid and have depth. And so it's going to be a battle either way. But I think game six that area nice. Is where, yeah.
All right, Garrett, our latest Squirtle saxophone meme that we tweeted, Garrett replied with Herb Jones, Indiana Jones, Junie B. Jones, don't matter, Thunder and four, and then posted the picture of Chet in the do-rag.
So awesome. Need
one of my favorite replies we've ever gotten. Yeah.
Now we need somebody to Photoshop a SIG in Chet's mouth in that picture. Yes. We are set.
CC Justin.
Yeah. Is today Chet's birthday? Was that yesterday?
It is. Happy birthday, Chet.
Happy birthday,
Chet. He still has 2 hours central time until the end of his birthday.
Chet and Aries almost have the same birthday. They missed it by like 5 days.
That's kind of crazy.
All right. Next one.
Who's most likely to be Aries' godfather? Is it Lou?
Dort. Easy.
It's Lou.
They live together. Well, honestly, it's probably going to be either Nickel or Tomasi.
Hopefully not Drake.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah, no. That man has enough children, apparently.
Yep.
Okay.
Shout out K Dot.
Next question.
Next question to Taylor from David Skelton on Twitter.
Taylor, are you skipping me, son of a gun?
I was gonna say I was not expecting this one. I thought it was Jacob.
My turn.
Sorry, I forgot. I went with Taylor first last time. Okay.
Hey, we can switch it up if you want, but
it's no, we'll go to Jacob. We're going to Jacob from David Skelton on Twitter. How worried should we be about Isaiah Joe? He doesn't seem to be tearing it up from three like he did last year. And we're talking he's not going like 5 of 7 from three or 7 of 10 from three.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how worried we should be. 1 being not worried at all, 10 being very worried, I would go like a 2. I mean, he shot 36% from three in the first round. He played 14 minutes a game. I'd like to see the 14 minutes a game go up. He's been cold at stretches, which is fair, but on the season, the dude shot 41.6% on nearly 5 attempts a game while only playing in 18 minutes. That means, I'm not great at math, but he's getting a 3 up like every 3 to 4 game minutes. Like, that's exactly what you want. I mentioned this earlier, and I think there's a question here coming up about KD and yada, yada, yada. I think keeping Isaiah Joe, I know Nick says he thinks they'll trade him. I think keeping Isaiah and Aaron are at the top of the list for the summer checklist.
Yeah, I think so as well. I do just quickly can entertain the idea that he obviously wasn't great in the first round. And honestly, I think I won't pull this up now, but I think he struggled some since All-Star break. That being said, I think this next series is the Isaiah Joe rebound series, but we'll save that for Sunday.
All right. Next one. To Taylor, actually, from Cheshire Cat. And we've kind of talked around this at least. What are your realistic goals for the second round? And you can take that wherever you want. It could be for a player,
yeah.
Team.
For the team, I think just pushing the game to the series to seven games is a goal. And I think we're pretty happy. Obviously, we'll be disappointed if they lose, but we're pretty excited about the future moving forward. Obviously, we don't want them to get swept. That'd be a little disappointing, although the season would still be a success. Getting to the six, seven games mark is a goal for me. Another goal would be to see Chet perform better offensively. I've touched on that. And then I want to see the Thunder bench contribute more offensively like we saw in the regular season. Outside of that, there's so many things we could go in for each player, a goal that we want. Like J-Dub, for example, I think he still has more scoring in him. I'd love to see him have a breakout game. Hopefully that's coming. But those are really the ones just off the top of my head, spitballing.
That's fair. For what it's worth, I think they're going to be favored in the second round, regardless of opponent.
That's actually really interesting, thinking about Vegas.
I think they could win it in 6 or 7. I think Garrett said it. I think 6 is realistic.
I almost think they're not favored because Vegas wants some money on the Thunder.
That could be fair. JD from SpongeBob's Burner. What do you think of Naz Reid to the Thunder next season? I know it's unlikely the Wolves trade him, but what do you think of the fit?
I think that'd be incredible. He is very, very, very good. He's almost like too good to be on the bench. I could see the Wolves starting him eventually if they trade Cat at some point. Yeah, I mean, that would be a perfect backup five for the Thunder. Like, perfect. But like you said in the tweet, not happening.
Mm-hmm. Could not agree more.
Yeah. This would be a fun one for Jacob to answer. From Kay, which is at Hoodie Chubb on Twitter. Will there be a game in the second round that causes JD to turn the PS5 on early?
Let's hope not.
Thunder game, no. I'm going to say no. They're going to be competitive. I don't think we're going to see a Thunder 30-point win again, although that'd be badass if it was. I don't think we're going to see the Thunder get blown out. I think each one is going to be a game in the fourth quarter going down the stretch. I think you're going to see close basketball in the second round.
Yep.
It's the playoffs and it's the Thunder. Even if they're down 20 in the first half, like, I expect to come back.
Oz Reed is a mentally stable Bobby Portis.
Well done.
Bobby Portis, big fan of the punch move. Probably just spams B in Super Smash Bros.
Hey, are the Clippers... So, the Clippers are an option, right? This is probably a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are they going to be a bunch of 9 p.m. games? Are they still going to start at 9 p.m. our time if they play the Clippers? Or is it because it's nationally televised, it could be a little earlier?
Could be earlier.
Yeah. Probably a little bit.
And you're just always going to get the second game of the night.
Yep.
Is what it is.
East Coast.
All right. I think it's Jacob. No, it's Taylor. Can't keep track. From Alex. They say, in Mark we trust, but why is Hayward seeing more of the floor than Kenny Hustle? This is a good one for you, Taylor.
It is, and we've talked a lot about it already. I think the matchup against the Pelicans was a big reason of that. Mark said that he likes Hayward's size. He got a car. I'm kind of anti-Hayward minutes, but I understand having him out there in that situation. Regardless, I think Aaron Wiggins and Kenrich Williams make up for that size, just the way they play physical basketball. I see that being flipped in the second round, maybe is the way to answer that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Another one for JD.
Yep.
This one's from Austin Hardman. Predict how far they go in the playoffs now that the first round is over. So what do you think the ceiling is, JD?
The roof.
The roof. I don't know. I'm trying to like keep my Homer radar on, like my internal. I don't want to like get too high on the team, but I kind of see them in the Western Conference Finals.
I think I do too. They've been really good.
I don't know. At every turn, I want to. At every turn this season, when I want to pump the brakes on the team, the team just flips the bird and slams on the gas and exceeds all expectations that I have. So, yeah.
It says JD has one more in the dock. What's that one?
Yeah, there was this weird tweet at the bottom of our thread. It just said, be whole in bio. You guys know anything about that?
Do not.
Silva, I think you need to go to the bio and click on it and report back.
All right.
I'm going to burn through some of these chat ones real quick. We're just going to rapid fire these ones. Okay.
Cool.
Kieran gave us a $5 super. So Kieran, thank you for that. But the super is inappropriate, Kieran. So I am not putting it on the stream. We love you. Thank you so much. Richard says, question. Why are so many people talking about a Durant trade? Seems like a terrible move.
Grasping for content, grasping for talking points to the Suns.
Look, my whole thing is like the fit on paper would be incredible. And I still, there's part of me that just thinks KD at the starting four next to Chet, which is, I mean, that's a championship contender year after year.
You don't mess with the vibes.
But you don't mess with the vibes, especially.
Why would you change anything? I don't even want them to go sign a free agent this summer.
The Suns were swept, and like minutes later, there's already an article out on The Athletic with quotes from people within KD's inner circle talking about him being discontent yet again with his role. And it's not going to be, in fact, it would be less on this team. I want Shea, Dub, even Giddy, player at Chet. I want those guys getting those shots when it matters for their development in the long term of this team. Presti feels the same exact way. I would be shocked if it happens. Although I understand it because of the fit on paper. It'd be pretty insane.
Yeah, I don't hold any ill will towards KD anymore, but if your goal is to not change the vibes, you do not bring Kevin Durant into the locker room.
You don't bring any of the big three back to the locker room. C. Wills, 122. Question, how long can we keep the starting five together? I think for at least the next 4 to 5 years. If they're motivated, if they want to, I think they can keep it together for 4 to 5 years.
Agreed.
Kieran, will people ever stop booing Giddy?
I didn't notice it as much as series, probably because there's nobody in Smoothie King. But
I think you might hear some more this season. I think next season it's done.
Yeah.
Micah, how did the Thunder respond after their first playoff loss?
I think they respond really positively. They showed all season that they bounce back after bad games.
Could not agree more. That's exactly how I feel.
I agree. Thunder Chick says, does Baby Shay mess with Shay's consistency mantra? My whole
it's
life
a fair point. He's a man of routine. But I think
babies will throw your routine off.
Like I said,
Bailey, keep nice that baby away.
It's nice that he has that week with the family before heading into the next round.
Matt Clarkson says, how do you guys determine which one of you wears the dog's shirt on the pod?
You know, you probably flip a coin and one of us, you know, you're wearing it. It's a good shirt.
Very good shirt. Hey, if you don't have a dog shirt, go buy a dog shirt. They're awesome. They're comfy. They look good.
What the dog doing?
Smoot says, do you think Maxi Kleba plays the five a lot for the Mavs in round two if they get there, or at least gets matched onto Chet?
A little bit. But I think primarily it's going to be Gafford.
I don't know. I don't have a lot of strong emotions about Maxi Kleba in general.
I was going to make a joke. I'm not. I can't have two shows in a row. I'm not going to do it.
I think he's more of a minimum Kleba.
That was not my joke. Thunder Chick, by the time we play again, we will have gone a full month since losing a game. Can the fans handle a loss without a crazy meltdown? I'll answer this one. No, they cannot handle it. It is going to be pandemonium. AA Visuals, which player do you predict will have the biggest jump from the first round? One from the Clip and one from the Mavs.
Like a Thunder player
versus the Clips and one for versus the Mavs. So it's a Thunder player, but against the two different teams. I think Isaiah would play a lot in the Clipper series and could have a jump.
I think he'll do the same in the Mavs. That's my answer.
I'm going Queso Mavs.
Is it too easy to go SGA versus the Mavs and Chet versus the Clippers? Is that too?
No,
not at all. I love it.
We are running really late on time, so let's do our second break of the night. On the other side, we'll update the playoff matchups, and then we'll get out of here. But thank you all for all the questions. We really, really appreciate it. We will be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back from the break. We're going to go over some the playoff update, talk about some predictions. Jacob, do you have that pulled up by chance?
I do have it pulled up, but I don't have my document over here updated because I updated it before the Celtics finished that series tonight, and they won in five, yes?
Correct.
Okay, so I need to update my
Porzingis, something I'm keeping an eye on for the next round.
Let's see here. Almost done. Almost done.
You made Taylor leave.
Justin is in first place so far. We have, what is this? One, two, three, four of the six, four of the eight series are in the books. Boston won 4-1 against the Miami Heat. We all chose Boston, but only Nick and Justin took Boston in 5. So they got 3 points. The rest of us got 1. OKC won in a sweep. We all took OKC. None of us took the sweep. So we all got 1 point for that. Denver versus the Lakers. We all took Denver. Justin and myself took Denver in 5. So we got 3 points for that. The rest of you guys got 1. Wolves versus Suns. Justin and I took Phoenix to win that series. So we got 0 points. The rest of you guys took Minnesota. But you didn't get the number of games right, so you only got 1 point apiece. That means that Justin is currently in the lead with 7 points. Nick is in second place with 6. I am in third place with 5. And Taylor and JD both have 4 points currently. JD, Nick's Philly is now 3-2. Is that right?
3-2 going back to Philly.
Where do you think this one is headed? It should have been closed out.
Should have been closed out.
And Maxi went off at the end of the game. Can the 76ers ride that momentum back in Philadelphia, where their ownership has bought 2,000 resale tickets to give out to Philly first responders to try to prevent Knicks fans from getting in the game?
Yeah, there's two like dark energies facing off here. You have the Sixers being let down every playoffs. Every playoffs, the Sixers are let down in some way by their team. So there's that history going against the pain of the Knicks history. So it's like, which one's going to win out? I think the most painful thing for the Sixers at this point would be losing after their ownership has done all of that. So that's why I'm going Knicks in 6.
I like it. I'm trying to respond to someone in the chat real quick.
That series is insane, and I think Joel Embiid is like half dead.
I agree. Milwaukee versus Indiana is also 3-2. I thought Milwaukee was going to lose it, but they came home and played great, won the game. It is now 3-2, headed back to Indiana. Indiana has a chance to close it out at home. Dame and Giannis are both doubtful. I wonder if they would try to play in Game 7. What's going to end up in this one, JD? For the record, real quick, I think only one of us took Indy in that series. No, two of us did. You and Justin both took Indy in 6. That would be tomorrow night. They'd have to win.
Yeah.
Nick took Milwaukee in 5, so he's out. I took Bucks in 6. That's out of the running. And Taylor took Bucks in 7.
I just think there's surely the Pacers will not blow 2 games against a Bucks team without Dame and Giannis. 2 in a row. Surely they will not do that, especially at home. I'm sticking with my original prediction of Pacers in 6.
I like it. I like it a lot. Cleveland versus Orlando is now 3-2 Cleveland. Cleveland came home and got game 3 after really getting their asses beat in Orlando. The series returns to Orlando. I took Orlando in 6. Justin took Orlando in 6. So those predictions are out. That can no longer happen. Orlando would have to win in 7. Taylor took Cleveland in 7. You took Orlando in 7. And Nick took Cleveland in 6. What happens in the next installment of this series, which has been a really competitive series, which has been kind of cool?
It has. And I don't know what to expect out of either of these teams. Night to night, the Cavs had home court, right?
Uh-huh.
I kind of think it's Cavs in 7. It's just going to be whoever's playing at home wins. It kind of is what it feels like to me.
That could be fair. This series changed your feeling on Evan Mobley at all? This series, this season? I'm just going to tell you, Chet Holmgren is a rich man's Evan Mobley.
Right. Now, I already think Chet is better than Evan Mobley. I already do. I'm like, the season in general made me low on Evan Mobley. These playoffs, especially like he had the game-winning block last night, that has kind of redeemed some of that in my mind. But he's mostly a defensive player at this point. Unless he just starts shooting threes, like it's gonna be an issue. Like you can't have him and Jared Allen next to each other and be a real contender. I don't think.
Agreed. Last one, Clippers Dallas. This one is currently in the middle of game five. Exactly in the middle. It is at halftime. A lot of people who listen to the podcast version of this are going to hear this after this game is over. So this might sound dumb. I believe Dallas is up 10 at half. I took Dallas in six. Justin took Dallas in six. Taylor and Nick took Dallas in seven. You are the sole believer in the Clippers taking them in seven. How does the second half of tonight play out? And what happens the rest of the series?
Yeah, I still think I'll stick with my my lone prediction of Clippers in seven. I just think Luka being hobbled combined with James Harden and Paul George having some insane, like, battling demons of playoff failures. I don't know. I just kind of want to see something weird happen. And I think the Clippers winning without Kawhi would be pretty weird and entertaining for me.
Agreed. I want the Clippers to win because I want the Thunder to play the Clippers because I think the Thunder have a better chance of beating the Clippers. I'll just say it as well. I don't want to play the Mavs because I can't watch 4-7 games of Luka Doncic just bitching 24-7.
No.
I will become a threat to myself and others.
It would be exhausting.
Like,
I don't want it.
I might pull a Bobby Portis on my TV.
Yep.
Just punch the hell out of it.
Hate watching him play basketball.
It's very annoying. It is very annoying.
I could write a 6-minute diss track about how much I hate Luka Doncic and watching him play basketball.
I love it. All right, JD, I think it's time to get out of here.
Let's get out of here. Taylor is somewhere. Checking on the dogs, maybe. I don't know. Thanks for hanging out with us in the live stream. Thanks for listening afterwards on the way to work or wherever you are. We'll be back Sunday. We will know who the Thunder are playing. I don't know. Do we know what time that game is on Sunday? The Mavericks or whatever?
I do not think we do yet. So hopefully we will know. I would think it'd be an afternoon game.
That'd be nice. If it was a 9 p.m. game, that would be really tough. But yeah, we'll be here anyway. Sunday night. Be there. Make some predictions on the Thunder series. The chat's been great tonight.
Chat has been great tonight.
We need to do more mailbags. We'll be back with those. All right. Until then, though, adios and Thunder up.
The headlines remind us daily the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.